Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you that the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be mine. We had hoped, of course, this afternoon they were going to be the views of Mary Baker, but so-called, we've only been able to get an answering machine. So if you're out there in the listening audience, you have anything you'd like to talk about, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and I give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. That includes you. It's a neat day of... Anyway, my engineer is trying to get things hooked up here and organized. But under any circumstances, if you are out in the listening audience, you have something you'd like to talk about. But there's so many things that are happening economically. There's so many things that are certainly happening from a political point of view throughout the world. And there's so many things that are really happening here in the United States that we do hope that many of you will give us serious considerations to what's going on, because our attention is being focused on other countries. And we're being focused on what's going on in Syria. We're being focused on what's going on in the Crimea. We're being focused on what's going on in the Iraq war. But what people don't understand, it is all manipulated. We are financing both sides. We finance Al-Qaeda. We finance the Shia Muslims. We finance the Sunni Muslims. And suddenly, but the average individual finds it so hard to believe. And right now, we do have our guest with us, Mary Baker. Hi, Mary. How are we doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I appreciate so much you coming on with us. So we got, as Mary referred to us, from our good friend Arlene Kula. Oh, Mary, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your background and about what you are so concerned about?
Well, about 4 years ago, I finally woke up. Can you believe it? I just turned 50, and I only woke up about 4 years ago and realized, wait a minute, things are changing, and not for the better. And so I became interested in the topic of Sustainable Development Agenda 21. And what led me to that interest was that I attended a conference in 2011. It was called the New Partners for Smart Growth Conference. And I attended that conference with three other people I hadn't met, actually. We just met up there. And for 4 days, we went to all the breakout sessions and learned all about smart growth and basically the social engineering plan to design the way we should live in the 21st century. And after leaving that conference, I just, once my eyes were open, I couldn't stop. And so I've just been a speaker in the Southern California region, speaking to all kinds of conservative groups about sustainable development. And concurrently, most lately, my developed a program on how to teach people to engage in the civic arena, because a lot of people were saying, well, what can we do? And I didn't have a good answer. And so I created a workshop called How to Become a Citizen Ninja in order to teach people how to engage effectively.
And, of course, the whole story really is so incredible. The average individual really does not understand that there is a master agenda for the 21st century, not simply for California, not simply for the United States, but for the entire world. It's called Agenda 21. And, of course, it is being coordinated by people of great wealth and power. There's not very many of them, but they have a different view of the world. And they're going to transform society, lower living standards here in the United States. And we're going to be back in just a moment with Mary Baker. We'll welcome your calls and suggestions right here at Radio Liberty.
Never.
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Mary Baker, and Mary, I suddenly, just 3 or 4 years ago, attended a meeting and suddenly discovered something called sustainable development. Now, we all live our lives. We've got a lot of things to do. We're busy. We have a pretty good life here in America, probably better than most people to any place else in the world. But there are subversive forces here which people do not understand, and they have gained control of local government, and they have a plan. They have an agenda, and it's all written out. It's described. You can find it. And they really intend to lower the living standards of the American people, restrict the use of power and electricity, and that they change the entire structure of the life, not only the American people, but of people throughout the world. Mary, would that be a fair assessment?
Yes, perfect. But what people don't realize is that that sounds, you know, a lot of people think, well, you know, that's really not ever going to happen here. How could it happen here? We have the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. We have the balance of powers, the three branches of government. This could never happen here. And when I go out and speak to people and begin to really get into what it is that is going on, and really they tell us what they're doing, we just aren't understanding their language. And then once I define what that language is, then their eyes are open and their ears, and they hear. And then they realize, holy cow, yeah, that happened to my neighbor, or that's happened to my family up in Washington. And suddenly they realize all of that is under this sustainable development agenda.
And of course, people certainly will have somebody come to their door and say they're from the government, and they just want to check their electric meter, and or they may just want to check their well, make sure the water is pure, and they're from the government there to help. And if you let them onto your property, you may suddenly find you no longer can use your well. You may suddenly find that you are going to be sorely restricted in your use of electricity, and people are actually being forced off to their homes all across the country because, of course, increasing government control, and the average individual doesn't hear about it because the media is controlled. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah. I mean, the media is completely either in denial about it, ignoring it, or through other kinds of propaganda.
Okay, fine. Hold that point. We're going to be back in just a moment here. Our guest is Mary Baker, and we'll be back here at Radio Liberty in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Mary is certainly over the last several years, has been aware of sustainable development, and she's out trying to warn people about what this is about, how suddenly these new programs are being used, suddenly to raise the price of electricity, to limit our access to water, to limit our access to development of our own property, and suddenly in rural areas many times, farmers are not allowed to farm their land, they lose their land, they're not allowed to put up fences. They're not allowed to get water for their cattle. You wonder why suddenly we have the smallest cattle herds we've had in years. And part of it and parcel of that is because of certainly these environmental restrictions. And that's why the price of suddenly pork and suddenly of beef are skyrocketing. And you have just seen the beginning of this. But go right ahead.
Well, you know what? I, to make it easier for people, I summarize their agenda into 8 fundamental goals. And, you know, if you'd like, I could go ahead and read those goals.
You go ahead and just tell us what you think and what needs to be done. Go right ahead, Mary.
Well, the first goal is that they are seeking to redefine American society by placing a greater value on the collective acting for the common good over an individual acting on self-interest. They want to govern how humans and nature interact. And how are they doing this? They're locking up open space into wilderness preserves, and they're regulating our access. Even though by law we're supposed to have access to that open space, they're regulating it. 3, they want to determine where and how humans live to achieve these goals of social and environmental justice. And the way they're doing that is there are all sorts of federal and state grants that are paying for the smart growth cities and what they call transit-oriented villages. These are all cities that are along transit corridors, the suburbs are basically being transformed into high-density, stack-and-packed, mixed-use buildings, multifamily condos, low-income housing, and so on, and all near transit. Number four, they want to control natural resources, as you said, so that all water, soil, minerals, fossil fuels, our forests, and our food are managed by a central government and distributed, of course, equally, or according to your needs, which, of course, is determined by the government. Number five, they want to restrict property rights, or actually remove them altogether. And, of course, we know in this country that owning property in America is a unique wealth-generating mechanism. But since not everyone can own land, they believe no one should. It would be unfair, and they're really systematically changing the American dream. Number six, they want to redistribute wealth locally, nationally, and internationally to ensure a global economic justice.
And I think that is so important. They want to redistribute wealth internationally. And people say, well, that's crazy talk. Why would anybody in America want to redistribute wealth internationally, and yet everything is being done to lower the standard of living here, to drive up the prices of things, whereas overseas to actually to lower the price of things, to increase production, to have more and more jobs. American jobs are intentionally mm-hmm. being transferred to other countries. Go right ahead.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they want to, instead of raising them up, you know, they want to bring us down. So the seventh goal is they seek to change our founding Judeo-Christian values. And a lot of people don't understand this, and they are redirecting those values toward what they call global civic ethic. They wrote about this in a book called Our Global Neighborhood. And it's sort of this global civic ethic is to be a scientific-based secularism or a sort of deep ecology that deifies Earth as Gaia or Mother Earth. That's why you see all this yoga in schools and so forth. And number eight, finally, through this Common Core, they want to change, turn our American children into global citizens. And why? Well, because if our children can embrace and perpetuate the goals I just mentioned, then they will have achieved, you know, success. So this power and control over our lives. So that basically summarizes everything that they're doing.
And they're certainly doing a good job of destroying Christianity. I mean, they tell us, you know, we're predominantly a Christian nation. When you talk to the young people coming out of high school, and most of them hate God, most of them hate America, and most of them are globalists, very few of them will talk about patriotism. But you're never going to hear this sort of thing because they control the media. And because they do that, you don't know what the young people graduating from high school really believe today, because you don't understand the purpose of education is to destroy belief in Christianity and the God of the Bible. Well, Mary, as you talk to people around the country about this, what sort of response do you get? Do people begin to understand or get some glimpse of what's taking place? And what are the average people doing about this?
You know, when I first started, I just thought property rights was the thing that would get people, you know, that they would say, gosh, I want to protect my property, these are my rights, and it's not just land, you know, it's your whole person, your ideas. And I really thought that would be the catalyst that would move people, and I was actually sort of disappointed, you know, it didn't. They just, especially because where I speak, it's very much in a suburban environment. And they weren't really feeling the impact of sustainable development, Agenda 21, the way that they are in the rural areas. And so with trial and error, I eventually fell on the topic of governance and how they're changing our governance. And this actually really motivates people, and that's exciting, because I'm explaining to them how they have completely flipped around our traditional form of government, where we had, you know, the greatest seat of power was at the town and city level, and then the county, because that's closest to the people, you know, who are voting and keeping an eye over their public servants. And then you had a little bit less from the state, and then, of course, significantly less from the federal government. But everything now is flipped upside down, and people feel it. They know it. They feel this top-down autocratic directive coming from the federal government down, you know, even controlling states, and then all the way down to the tipping point, you know, which is now the town or city. And a But there's an interruption now in the whole flow, and it's called regional governance. Now, we've had regional governance before. I mean, this is not new, but now they're calling it new regionalism. And I've been doing a lot of reading of their documents that describe what this new regionalism is. And essentially, new regionalism is, in their words, they would say it's an institutional shift from government to governance, and it emphasizes public and private sector partnerships and joint ventures. And so essentially what it's doing is new regionalism is boards and commissions of bureaucrats, of appointed individuals. It's commissions, agencies who have regulatory authority and are essentially trumping local jurisdictional decisions and control, and which means that they are affecting our representative government. And so, you can unelect a city council member, but you can't fire an employee or an appointed board or commission member. And so once people hear that, then they get pretty upset, and that seems to compel people. So I feel like I've finally found the thing that's moving people in that direction, and that's one of the reasons I created this Citizen Ninja training, because then people say, well, what do I do? You know, I've never been to a city council meeting. I've never given a public comment. I've never spoken to an elected official, et cetera. And so I'm teaching them not only how to do those things, but also just even how to have civil discourse, because we've really been shut down in this country. We're told that, a single person has no power, has no voice. We're silenced. We're called racist. And even the conservative Democrats are experiencing the same thing.
Well, no, basically, how do we get people to suddenly run for political office and become members of the city council or boards of supervisors? Because that's where the power really is. We've already been taken over from the top of our government down. They control both political parties and make mockery of what's going on. Certainly, both political parties at the national level are globalists. They're going right along with this global agenda of doing away with America's national sovereignty. But at the local level, certainly, there's a lot of people who are really a water course to maintain this, and they are local control. That was what America was founded. Limit the power of the federal government so people could be free. The people want a dictatorship, want a centralized power, so the people will not be free. Are we able to get people on our side, people who value freedom, to run for city council, to run for council, for board of supervisors, or for other types of a local government office? What sort of response are you getting?
Well, there's a lot of frustration. I mean, we just had the primaries down here in San Diego, which is where I live, down here in the county. And we had a 52nd congressional district run right now is being led by Scott Peters. He's a Democrat. And we want to get that seat back into the Republican hands. But, it's typical that the favored candidate by the establishment GOP down here is not the candidate that's really representing the conservatives in the district. And then we had a couple of other candidates, but one of them was a wonderful candidate, Kirk Jorgensen. And, he gave a lot of hope to people. He's a four-time combat veteran. He worked for the CIA. I mean, he's highly qualified for the position of a congressman. And even though he lost, he rallied people and made them believe that there could actually be a candidate that had solid values and principles, that he would stand by them. If those kinds of people, even though they're not winning yet, if those people can be role models for others and say, yes, you can rally a group of people around and build that momentum, perhaps more people would be excited to get into it. But, boy, nasty politics, I gotta tell you.
Well, I think it's vitally important, ladies and gentlemen, that people get involved and they get behind good candidates and understand the media is controlled. You've lied to consistently. It's time we took America back. Either that or we will not have America to take back.
While the storm clouds gather,
Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Mary Baker. And we're talking certainly about sustainable development, about the plan to actually transform our society using the threat to environmentalism. One of the things is certainly electricity. They're driving up the cost of electricity. There's no reason for that. They're doing it intentionally. They're putting new restrictions on the use of coal to generate electricity, so that most of the coal generating plants are going to have to shut down. And then, of course, they're doing everything they can to limit the use of hydroelectric electricity. They're actually tearing out the major dams, and so they're doing everything they can to limit the use of nuclear energy. They basically want to drive the cost of electricity up. They're really doing a pretty good job on that, aren't they, Mary? Do you think the average individual understand this is all planned, part of a program of lowering our living standards by driving at the cost and availability of electricity?
No one understands this. Very few people. The issue of electricity just drives me crazy. A lot of people don't know, for example, in California, that there was a law passed that dictated to the providers of energy, like down here we have San Diego Gas and Electric, they had to source 33% of their energy from renewable energy, like from wind farms and solar arrays out in the desert. But the problem is that, first of all, those are very expensive forms of energy, sources of energy. Secondly, they are already subsidized, so we're already paying for them through our taxes. And third, they're not dependable because it isn't always windy and it isn't always sunny and there's a lot of dust. And so the ironic part about all this is that because it's supposed to be dependable, because 33% of our energy is sourced from these places, they have to run these renewable energies on fossil fuels when it isn't windy, when it isn't sunny. And so you have this sort of hypocrisy going on with just to support this form of energy. And then also the other piece that people don't realize is that these wind farms are typically built in canyons where there's high wind. And the animal, the bird that flies in these canyons are these golden eagles, for example. They're birds of prey. And what they do is they use the wind to soar and look for their prey. And they're looking down, and then they run into these blades. Now, these eagles are endangered species, and these wind farm companies are basically applying and receiving kill permits, so that they have the authority to kill a certain amount of endangered species throughout the year. So it's ridiculous. Not to mention that they're also knocking down the dams, which is a wonderful source of cheap, clean energy. They are getting rid of the dam, hydroelectric dam.
And people don't understand they're knocking down thousands of dams across America. And you're never going to read this in your newspaper or hear it mentioned on radio or television because it's tightly and rigidly controlled. They don't want you to understand they do not want cheap and efficient means of electricity. They want it expensive and they want it limited. And the average American certainly is not going to understand what's happened until I fear it's far too late.
Oh, yes. And, I mean, well, look at the water crisis we're going through. I mean, they've been letting out just hundreds of thousands of gallons of water just run right onto the ocean. You know, and they're saying, we're in a drought. Where's the storage? Where's this plan for the storage of the water that we should have had, been preparing for years ago?
And, of course, basically they're actually actively releasing large sums of water that could be utilized for agriculture and other things. Now, they're doing that simply because so we'll have a water shortage. And most of these things are engineered, certainly this, though there may very well be some evidence of a drought here. But it's so hard to tell where the truth is because of the degree of control that exists and because of the lying that exists through the media. So basically, what sort of response do you get from the major media outlets and television outlets as you try to talk about these things?
No, I don't. There's no response whatsoever. There's no interest whatsoever from any mainstream media to talk about it. on a national level, they're not even discussing it. Maybe, you know, I remember Newt Gingrich talked about it briefly during his campaign when he was running for president. But there is absolutely, if they discuss it, even local radio here that are nationally syndicated, like Roger Hedgecock, they talk about it, but they don't use the terminology so that people aren't identifying exactly what it is, and they're not pulling it all together into one neat package for people.
Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Mary. Our telephone number is 888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295. Give us a call. This is going to affect every aspect of your life very soon. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Mary Baker. Certainly, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question about this subversive movement that permeates every aspect of our society, and the reason you don't hear about it is because the media is controlled, and a small group of people want to transform our society and lower our living standards. And ladies and gentlemen, they're already in the process of doing it. If you have a question or comment, give us a call. But right now we have Dave from Illinois. Again, our telephone number is 888-24-LIBERTY, 888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Hi, Dave from Illinois. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yeah, good evening. Good afternoon to both of you. My question is, here in Central Illinois, I've known about this for several years thanks to Dr. Stan and other talk radio hosts. But most people have absolutely zero clue. They never heard of this stuff at all. Of course, the media says nothing about it. Well, my question is, what type of buzzwords should I listen to from the local news, this stuff? Because I know that local level, they do use different terminology that most people have no idea what they're talking about. But, well, I guess that my first part of my question is, I've heard from past programs with other guests about this subject that, like, Ickley and things like that are in every county in the country. So is that true? Is this everywhere now? And if it is everywhere now, it's obviously here in my area. Again, what type of terminology should I listen to from the media to sound the alarm that it's really here?
Well, do you have any thoughts on that at all, Mary? Because, of course, what we need is some terms that people can understand. I mean, Agenda 21, Sustainable Development. What they have to understand is the fact that there is a subversive movement in America intent upon lowering our living standards, and you need a term they can identify with. And nobody wants to call this subversive, and yet that's exactly what it is. What are your thoughts, Mary?
The use of language is really important. And like I said earlier, they are telling us what they're doing. It's just that, number one, no one is recognizing the language, especially older generations, people who aren't in college. The younger ones know the words. The older people don't. And then, additionally, they're changing the definition. And so when they say consensus, you know, we think of consensus as being discussion, debate, reason, judgment, coming to a solution. But for them, consensus is really a false consensus, and they're asking you basically to trade off your private interests for that of the collective. So words are really important, and when you use the word Agenda 21, it really, what my experience is that they go, let's say an elected official, say you want to address this with an elected official, and you use the word Agenda 21. Typically, what they do is they go to their closet, they pull out a nice tinfoil hat, and they put it on your head, and the conversation is over. So what I have learned is when I use the words that they are familiar with, that basically that their staffers are using the terms like sustainable development, infill development, cool cities, resilient cities, when you see words like that, those are red flags, and if you use those words with the elected officials, now you can have a conversation about the strategies that they're trying to implement in their town, like complete streets, for example. Rose diet.
Terms like, what was the term?
Complete streets.
Okay.
Yeah, complete streets means that there's street equity, so that there's now a lane for cars, a lane for bikes, a lane for public transportation, and sidewalks for pedestrians. So when you hear terms like that, those are red flags, and then you can go in and speak to them about the inefficiency, the congestion building, you know, strategy of complete streets, for example. So in order to help people with this, we created a glossary of terms, and I have it posted on my blog. And that glossary of terms has really, really helped folks be able to, first of all, recognize when there's something on the agenda, for example, that's coming up, whether it's at the county level, at the city level, or even in your metropolitan planning organization level. And then be able to go in and have a discussion about that and about how those strategies aren't really going to work. And we even created a report to help people do this because, you know, you have to sort of be an expert on this. I mean, how, you know, they're taught, this staff is talking to elected officials about greenhouse gas reduction, for example. I mean, what do people know about this? Nothing. And so we created a report to help people manage all of this and be able to speak professionally and factually with elected officials who are up against these staffers who are pushing this agenda.
Well, Mary, how can people get to your website, your blog site? How can they get your material and begin to implement this and utilize this in the discussions? People must understand that if we do not take America back, it's going to be taken from us. There is an organized, very well coordinated, very well financed effort to lower the living standards in America, to restrict the Sydney, the use of water, of electricity. Yes, and even to take away homes from people. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. David, anything else you wanted to ask before we let you go?
Yeah, I was at a hockey game a couple of years ago. I'm a huge hockey fan. We have a hockey team in Peoria here. And during two intermissions, I just walked around to get some exercise. And over the PA system, a voice said, "The Civic Center is going green." Well, I saw a big red flag. Now, after that, I got into a noisy ear, and I couldn't hear the rest of what they said. But isn't that one of the buzzwords, going green?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, going green. Oh, yes. The green agenda. Red agenda is what we say, the watermelon.
Communism wrapped up in green.
I mean, basically, what Mary is making the point, it is really the watermelon syndrome. It's green on the outside, but it's red on the inside, because this is, Sydney, communism is regulation of everything, and that's what this is all about. But what people really don't understand is the force behind communism has nothing to do with Lenin or Trotsky. It has to do with a group of very, very wealthy people here in the United States and in England who've been funding this world communist movement, because that's how they are going to seize power. Hey, thank you very much for calling, Dave, from Illinois. And right now, of course, we go to Rich, who's calling from Aromas. And basically, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And a lot of people are saying, well, this is never going to affect me. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is going to affect you, because we're going to have a major cataclysmic event in the near future. And I fear that associated with it is going to be pretty dramatic and effects. Dramatic results that are going to impact on the lives of everyone listening to this program as they systematically destroy the value of our currency. Rich calling from Aromas. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Hello, Grandpa Liberty. How are you feeling?
I'm not well. I'm just hanging in there. That's all I can do.
Well, you and me both. A friend of mine called me up about 2 days ago and said Governor Brown just passed some kind of legislating saying that they can put meters on all our wells to manage the water and see how much water you're using and stuff like that. And 4 years ago, I've discussed this numerous times that I chased a guy from the county off my property who tried to put a meter well. And what I mean is not electricity, because I already have a meter for the well to run electricity. He wanted to regulate my water and see how much water I was using, and I told him to get the heck off my property, and I chased them off. Now, if they come back again under some legislation from the governor, doesn't the Constitution trump anything that the governor tries to do?
Well, first of all, I think, Rich, what you need to do is find out what this legislation is. Do you have the bill? Have you looked into it? You do the research on it.
Okay.
And then come back to me, okay?
All right, but still, no matter what, let's say he did, doesn't the Constitution under the...
But these people don't believe in the Constitution. These are the idea that they have the power. It's all about power. It's all about controlling you. Yes, the Constitution limits what the power of the federal and state government can do, but you're going to have to take a case to court once they pass the legislation. Right now, why don't we find out what was really passed, okay?
Okay, Grandpa.
Okay, God bless, and let's go to Rich, Jim, who's calling from West Virginia. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, but you must understand, there really are people who have an entirely different view of the world than logical people. They want to lower living standards. They want to impoverish our people. They want war after war after war. And believe me, a terrible war is coming. They want a financial catastrophe. And believe me, a financial capacity is coming. They want a major electronic disruption across America. And believe me, I sincerely believe it's coming. Well, right now, Jim from West Virginia, question or comment?
Two comments. One is this, is that if you have a greenhouse, most people aren't aware of this, if you have a greenhouse, the gas you most want in there is carbon dioxide. Seriously, large greenhouse owners usually put CO2 monitors in there because the CO2 drops down to zip. The plants stop growing. So that's comment one. So let's hear it for burning more carbon.
And basically, what you're basically saying is this whole idea of suddenly limiting the CO2 is wrong. Actually, things grow far better with abundant CO2, and you're absolutely right. And nobody ever mentions that. Go right ahead, Jim.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, I got hit with the International Property Maintenance Code in 06. I went through Hades on Earth over this thing. International Property Maintenance Code, Mary Baker, what do you know about this?
Not very much, but you're going to have to fill me in on it, Jim.
Okay, International Property Maintenance Code. The code official is the sole interpreter, so the courts mean nothing. Can you say Gestapo? Anything the code official in West Virginia, Charles, West Virginia, is $555 a day and or a month in jail for any infraction by which the code official says. Anything, A, not in good working order, dented gutter, a plugged gutter, a sticky window screen, sticky door, loose door, $555 every day, a mandatory misdemeanor, and or a month in jail for every day of the infraction occurs. Anything he considers an unsanitary condition, dog droppings on your property. How about empty pop cans? Mosquitoes might be there on the property. Anything he calls an unsanitary condition. Garbage bags. They hit me with 6 bags of grass clippings. They were grass clippings, nice, smooth, not lumpy garbage, in my driveway. Unsanitary condition. Or anything he calls a noxious weed. There is no definition for that. $555 a day and or a month in jail for every time. No only that, but they can
prevent. Mary, have you ever heard of anything like this?
Oh, yeah, I have. I mean, they'll say things like the canopy of a tree. You can't touch anything that's underneath the canopy of a tree, for example, because of watershed issues. But the thing is, when I hear things like that, I just say vote them out. You've got to vote these people out, and you've got to go in there and get rid of these ordinances. And, you know, a strategy that is starting to be used by cities who are basically sort of feel like they've been taken over by their staff and their city manager, is they get rid of their planning department because planning departments make work. They love this whole agenda because they can go around, they could start changing ordinances, they could start changing, you know, charging fees for people who, and they don't even have to tell people that the ordinances are changed. People are out of compliance without even realizing it. And so once they get rid of the planning department, I mean, the city saves lots of money and it saves a ton of headache and it increases people's property values and property rights.
And I think that's an important issue. It's pointing out to people that if you get rid of the planning department, why it'll increase the value of your property. Anything else you want to say, Jim, before we let you go?
This might blow your mind. From what I dug into in Charleston, West Virginia, it was not passed by City Hall, by the City Council, whatever. What happened? And you can go to the International Property Maintenance Code, download it, read it. It'll blow your mind. It isn't that long. But it says that they can amend it in any way you want, so they change the name of it all the time. You have to read it, see if it's there. And number two, you don't have to pass it in City Council or County Commission. You just buy the book and adopt the code. It's not a law. It's a code you adopt. The planning or whatever the heck department it was in Charleston, West Virginia, just went out and bought the book and started stealing real estate. You go to municipal court, you can see like 100 people being hit for $555 a day.
Well,
now, International Property Maintenance Code, do the research on it. It's the second or third worst scam in U.S. history.
Okay, Jim, thank you very much. Appreciate your mentioning it for us. And let's go to, we have Lauren calling from Ohio. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But look at, certainly in certain areas, things are happening beyond belief. And certainly do not discount what Jim from West Virginia is saying. They eventually bankrupted him simply because he suddenly had things on his property that did not go along with code. And you say that couldn't happen in America. Ladies and gentlemen, it is happening in America. Lauren from Ohio, do you have a question for our guest?
Actually, I have a comment and solution. Jim is exactly right. They will do this. Why are they doing this? They're doing this because we don't understand who and what we are and where the power is. The bottom line is...
Lauren, who is the power? Who is behind this?
Well, government, that's governing your mental facilities. God said, have no other gods before me. Do what I say. He gave his Ten Commandments. We got a government of men, Satanist, Luciferian, drug-dealing, gun-running killers, and we're doing what they say, and we don't understand why we're getting bad fruit. So, but let me tell you the solution and how they're getting away with it. Because when you look at the Constitution, what is it? It's a body of negative law limiting the maids and the butlers by rules, codes, regulations, and statutes. They have slipped in and put an administrative United States corporation, basically, in control. And because we don't understand and keep obeying men instead of God, they're getting away with it. So the simple solution is just do what God said. Occupy until I return. Stand in truth. Expose and overturn. And so that means we stop giving them our money. We understand who owes money. You know, if you agree to be their baby, basically, their person, you know, the 14th Amendment, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, that means there are people who are not subject to the jurisdiction.
Okay, Lauren, I appreciate your remarks. Let's just get Mary's. Mary, how would you respond to Lauren who says just don't go along with it? And yet they have the power, they have the government, and they can take your property if you don't go along with them. What would you say to Lauren?
Well, I mean, I agree in many ways. I think that, you know, I'm always giving people permission to run interference. This is what we have to do. We have to run interference in their plan. We have to understand, first, you know, civic knowledge is really important. The laws actually, there are many laws, like transparency laws, that support the public. People just don't, they're not literate in them. But once you look at the laws and you see that the transparency actually supports your right to have access to the table of planning, or all these things are going on, then...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Go right ahead with your thoughts there, Mary, and then we'll finish up your thought.
So, well, civic knowledge is important. And once you understand what your rights are, then you can act confidently. And we need people to act, to run interference with their plans, and to have the confidence to do so. And to understand that the people in the United States of America, they're the boss. And all these staff people, all these public servants, they are employees. Not enough people. Well, they've been dumbed down to think that actually the government is their boss. but we are the boss. But we have not been good overseers of the people whom we ask, whom we employ, essentially. And so we've got to get we have to get many, many people out there confident, running interference with their plans, but doing it in a way that is effective, that is not going to fulfill, you know, their description of what the Tea Party people are like, for example. You know, oh, those crazy people, they're angry, they're racist. You know, so we have to be careful that we're not behaving that way so that we don't fulfill, you know, the stereotype that they've given that group.
Well, Mary, certainly I'm going to have to let you go because we're out of time. But I would want to get you onto our other networks, as you know, you may not know. But I do actually four different networks every day. We do 5 hours of talk radio 5 times a day. And we want you to get to our other audiences. You have a great message. Thank you so very much for being with us. And I'll be talking to you soon. Hopefully we get you on the other programs as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Dr. Stan back here, and we do hope you enjoyed the program with Mary Baker. This is not an imaginary problem. This is real. We have a great 4-CD set called Agenda 21. And then, of course, we have my talk on Agenda 21, The Covert Plan, another talk on Agenda 21, the Secret Agenda. We have several of the programs on Agenda 21 with Michael Shaw, and they're all available, and these are DVDs, and they're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Let me suggest the 4-CD set on Agenda 21. Let me suggest my talk on Agenda 21, The Covert Plan, and Agenda 21, the Secret Plan, and the Covert Plan, and then the separate one, the Secret Plan, and then the talks given by Michael Shaw on that subject. We need your help to get this information out. This is not imaginary. You're not going to suddenly be able to just go along and one day everything's going to be fine. There really is a subversive element that runs both political parties, certainly has control over most of the major banks and major corporations, and certainly is working behind the scenes to bring about this one world government under their control. And they really do believe in population control. And if you don't believe that, you need to get my 4-CD set on population control. There really are people who think there are too many people in the world, and they intend to supervise killing most of them off. And people find that so difficult to believe. And then, of course, why would anybody have wanted to have created World War I? There was no reason for World War I. Why would anybody have wanted to create World War II and then finance the enemy all during the war? And if you doubt that we financed the Nazis both before and during the war and then helped them escape after the war, well, you need to get the book America's Nazi Secret by John Loftus. Everything was done to suppress the book, but of course eventually it was published by a small publisher and we carry the book. But we have a 4-CD set with John. A 4-CD set, it's called The War Against the Jews. We financed the Nazis all during the Holocaust, and we certainly then helped them escape to South America following the war, right along with Adolf Hitler. And if you haven't heard these 4-CD set, Did Hitler Escape? Did Hitler Escape? You need to get it. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's from RadioLiberty.com. It's so difficult for most people to believe that something like this could be going on today when things are so good. I mean, after all, I mean, don't we have the finest level of living or living standards in the world? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, but they're about to end. You can't keep spending money. You can't keep financing a socialist welfare state with a couple of $1 trillion a year you don't have every year. And right now, we're going behind between $1 and $2 trillion a year. And we've been doing it for a number of years. And basically, this whole house of cards is going to come tumbling down. It's not a matter of if, but when. And so you make your preparations accordingly. A lot of people are going to just say, well, I don't believe this. This could not happen in America. And I would ask, why not? America's turned against God. And remember that God, who gave us life, gave us liberty. But can the liberty of a nation be secure when the conviction has been forgotten that liberty is the gift of God? And as Thomas Jefferson said so well, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and his justice will not sleep forever. So if you're in a position to help Radio Liberty financially maintain our network of stations across America for 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, we're heard. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for a revival for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for my ministry of Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection until tomorrow. May the Lord be with you.